You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line are James P. Tucker Jr. and Mark Anderson, both from American Free Press, live from Chantilly, Virginia, at the 2012 Bilderberg Conference. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us again.
Our pleasure.
Great to be here.
So today is day three of the 2012 Bilderberg Conference, is that right?
Yes, sir. It appears to be day three, counting the day that they first came in earnest in their notorious black sedans. No doubt this is a major business day, a full day here on this Saturday that they'll be getting as much global manipulation done as they can. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. They're picking the vice presidential candidates. Kerry is attending, and he will be on the ticket with Obama, setting himself up for the elections 4 years later, as is the governor of Indiana.
Mitch Daniels, I'll interject.
Yes, thanks for the interjection. Mitch Daniels of Indiana is to be on the ticket with Romney, whose nomination seems to be assured, although Ron Paul will still have a major speaking engagement under party protocol because he got more than 100 delegates. So the country will get a good education from Ron Paul during a prime time speech at the Republican convention. And then it's a matter of voting for Romney because he's less bad, not good, but less bad than the self-avowed communist who calls himself President of the United States.
You said Mitch Daniels, and this guy's a relatively unknown, isn't he?
Yes, but what you have to do with vice presidents is make sure, first of all, they don't hurt you, as in Nixon running with Eisenhower and the scandal in 1960, which almost got him kicked off the ticket until he was able to make a speech pointing out correctly that everybody else collects money to campaign on the back of a station wagon when he's running for the House from California. But since then, they've started what they call vetting candidates for the vice president. The first chore they want is somebody who'll do us no harm. The vice president will be known to the world within a week after the nomination when he's making speeches all over the country, but it's important that he not have a bad record of bribery or alcoholism or whatever.
Right. And of course, as you mentioned plenty of times, Bill Clinton was a relatively unknown until he attended the 1991 Bilderberg Conference.
Yes.
Bilderberg conferences, I guess, are used as a staging ground for up-and-coming politicians.
Well, yes, Bilderberg, with the single exception of Ronald Reagan, has owned every major party's nominee of Republicans and Democrats since about 1964, when Goldwater, of course, was obviously not Bilderberg boy.
Mm-hmm. So 10 years after Bilderberg was founded.
Well, yes, 1954, 64, yes.
That's a good observation, Dave. Mitch Daniels, notably, is reasonably well-suited to be in the Bilderberg orbit in that back in 2006, he helped sell the Indiana toll road off, or lease it, they say, to foreign investors. And now the tolls have went up. There was a lot of negative publicity then about selling off public assets, which now has become a feverish thing. It's become a constant thing as the states and the national government go belly up financially, selling off anything that's not nailed down. And Mitch Daniels is a noted Republican who was more or less imported into Indiana. And while he's not that bad of a guy overall, he's supported alternative views, biodiesels and things like that. He's an import from the Beltway into Indiana, and he's kind of played the Hoosier the last 4, 5, 6 years, and he's done his acting quite well. And so I think that he's earned some of his Bilderberg pedigree in the toll road dealings and other goings on.
Right. And of course, a lot of these politicians do the same thing he did. Hillary Clinton's from Illinois. An article was just posted, I saw, on the American Free Press website, AmericanFreePress.net, about the Washington Post actually putting up a story on Bilderberg. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
It came out today. Let's sound the alarm, pop the champagne corks, whatever you want to call it. June 2nd, 2012, a day that will live in some kind of infamy. The Post actually reported on Bilderberg. The first known story, really, in Bilderberg's history of the Post now breaking this silence. And it's notable, too, that the article mentions the top dog, Donald Graham, which Jim will talk about more in a minute, as having been invited, implying that he was invited this year. He's on the invitation list when we know darn well he's been fully participating in Bilderberg for a number of years, and his newspaper has not reported on it until now.
Wow. Now, just before we get to you, Jim, I just want to again mention Bilderberg was founded in 1954, as you've written about in your book, Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diaries. And Jim, you came on the scene with Bilderberg in 1975. That's when Willis Cardo asked you if you had ever heard of him. And of course, that was a big revelation to you. So you've been hunting Bilderberg since 1975. And when you began your hunt in 1975, and we're talking now, that's 37 years ago. When you began your hunt in 1975, besides besides those few articles by Westbrook Pegler, was anybody talking about Bilderberg?
Almost zero. They did have a practice in those days of planning a small plight story of about page three, the smallest weekly in the little town. They normally met in little towns with a big resort just to keep the natives calm, because the natives would get nervous when they see all those police. And in Europe, the army turning out as well, all the police and the private security with well-exposed arms in their possession and sealing off the resort. That would make the natives very nervous. So to keep them calm,
sure,
they put out a polite little story about how a group called Bilderberg is having a three-day meeting at the such-and-such resort this weekend. They're little sweethearts, and we should all love them, and God bless one and all. Yeah, I first learned of that when I was, I forgot where I was, about many years ago. And I'm sitting in a bar contemplating Bilderberg, talking to some of the old boys about it. Well, they said, well, got a story about Bilderberg right here. And they let me keep the little newspaper that had the such a polite story. I realized that was a tendency. But beyond that, radio silence marks implying that Donald Graham finally got an invitation, so he may or may not go. Didn't say whether he was going there or not. Well, the Graham family were among the Bilderberg originators. The original Phil Graham attended the first meeting of Bilderberg in 1954. He remained there at Bilderberg for a few years. Then he shot himself in his bathtub and killed himself. Then his wife tried it out of the kitchen, became publisher, and then she attended. In her later years, she started bringing little Donald along with her. Then when she decided to die, Donald Graham took up the family mantle and attended every meeting. Historical Washington Post story, as Mark said, they implied that he received an invitation this year. Well, it's just remarkable, though, and a tribute to all of your listeners and patriots around the country who forced this into the public domain where it should have been all the time. I mean, Washington Post never thought they'd have to write a story, and I'm sure they did not do it without the permission of the Bilderberg bigwigs, of which Don Graham is one, of course.
Right.
I'm sure they didn't say, oh, let's go write a story without checking with the boys up front first. The fact that they've been forced into this position where boys wanted to have absolute secrecy, deny their very existence. We don't exist. There is no such group. And now to have to cover themselves, that's quite a tribute to American patriots.
But, well, really, you've been pretty much a sole voice for so many decades trying to uncover the Bilderbergs, and it's finally happened. Now, you actually predicted that they would write about it yesterday. You said that they would come out with an article, maybe in the women's section. And actually, I went on when Mark told me that there was an article in the Washington Post about Bilderberg. I went on the site, and I had a very difficult time finding it. Certainly not prominently placed. I just did a search for Bilderberg, and it popped up. I wanted to ask you, Jim, how do you feel about the article going in?
I'm very happy that they were compelled to do so. Of course, they tried to imply in their subtle lines there's a bunch of nuts outside the gates. They didn't use that word directly, but the implication of their story is that all those opposed to Bilderberg are a bunch of screwballs. Nevertheless, the fact that they were forced to write any kind of story at all is, as I say, a great tribute to the American people, American patriots.
Is that going to slow down your quest to expose these guys?
No, only death will do that. So I'll be after the next 150 years or so.
All right, cool. So you're not going to come back from the grave to haunt these guys?
Spooks.
May I interject? We'll just see what we can do, and then I'll live a few extra years, and all told, it will be a total rout with a little luck and help from above.
Well, it looks like it's getting that way because, as you said, both you guys said, the mainstream media even denied the existence of such an entity, and I was disgusted yesterday when I watched a quick video of this fellow, and I mentioned this also yesterday, this talking head. I don't even know what channel he's on or station or a broadcast company he works for, but last name O'Donnell, who was interviewed by, I guess, an up-and-coming journalist about Bilderberg, and he was so arrogant about how it means nothing, it doesn't exist, I really don't have time to waste, I have no energy to expend to find out who Bilderberg is. So they're still fighting, right?
You called a turkey who was nervous as a stump in the church, I suppose, because the others knew that they were bowing to the pressure in writing stories. I mean, you said I predicted the Post. Well, it's not a hard prediction because the Post reporter was there and talked to me.
But just because the reporter was there and the photographer was there, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to print a story, right?
That's true. They could be there to collect information, and later they could explain, well, we decided it wasn't much of a story anyway, so we threw it out. We had a lot more important stories to use.
That's a good point. There's a thin line between some of the major media and a variant of intel. One wonders about that, and we've heard about CIA infiltration of certain media over the years. All that aside, this is just a good turning point with two Washington Times stories in 3 days, both of those significant and a little bit better in quality than the the Post story, then the Post begrudgingly covering it. Now all eyes are on the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, including the business pages, because these Bilderbergers are buried in bonds and investments. So stories about them could not only appear in the women's pages, but certainly the business pages. And so all eyes need to be on the New York Times and all sorts of media over the next few days, starting today, especially the Sunday papers where there's the highest readership. And I would add that the Post put the story in on a Saturday, which is traditionally one of the lowest days of readership in a newspaper overall.
Right.
Maybe that's coincidental, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. And they buried it. And it's very important to note, because when a lot of folks might just think that there isn't any hope for any change, it's very important to note that when Jim began his quest in 1975 at the suggestion of Willis A. Cardo, working for the Spotlight weekly newspaper, the predecessor to American Free Press, that was the only publication that was on the trail of Bilderberg. Now you can go online and go to 10 different websites, and they're all talking about Bilderberg. So just as a point of reference, back 37 years ago, the only publication that was talking about Bilderberg was the Spotlight, American Free Press. And it seems like from the several years that I've been looking at American Free Press and what the Spotlight has done, it seems like those publications are years ahead of the mainstream media. And that's no exaggeration. Would you guys agree?
Definitely.
Right. Jim, would you agree that American Free Press is years ahead of the mainstream media and is reporting on topics such as this?
Yes, and much advantage of the readers who can know a year ahead what's happening to the gas prices, what's happening to the state of the economy. We keep the readers sometimes years ahead of events to unfold. All of our reporting on Bilderberg has always been confirmed by the events that followed.
Right.
So in that sense, we're a handy economic tool for the reader as well as kind of a fun paper to, if you're interested in the world as it is and not as it ought to be.
Right. And why do you think that is, that American Free Press and the predecessor of the Spotlight has for so many years been ahead of the curve? What do you think the main reason is for that?
Well, we're old-fashioned reporters who go after the real news. Now, the newspaper industry itself has deteriorated tremendously in recent years. Years ago, people read newspapers. The Washington area had 5 newspapers. Manhattan had 12 newspapers, and there were more in Brooklyn, and they were read by people. You could tell by responses to questions by the inquiry photographer on page 1 of the old late-column format, Times Herald. In the 50s, Jacqueline Bevere would ask a question of the day. The answer would come typically from a lawyer, a physician, a mailman, a plumber, and maybe a cab driver. Across the economic sector is intended. But in their responses, they demonstrated that they were well aware of world affairs. They read several newspapers a day, had papers in the morning and papers in the afternoon. And now, partly because of the lower quality or less qualified alleged journalists, reporters who do such bad work, those newspapers have folded up, gone belly up, many of them. The Washington Post, New York Times, and the LA Times have even had to cut back on their coverage because of the lack of circulation, lack of interest on the part of the public.
Okay, so you think it's just like a general dumbing down of the American public?
Yes, because of the increasing illiteracy. You'll recall that when you were a little boy, you got home from school, you walked out in the yard and played hard, came in tired, laid down. They made you do your homework if you had any, and then you probably read for a while before going to sleep. Now, with the introduction of the edit box, and they talk about the obesity problem among American youth is so obvious. Now Johnny comes home, grabs a soda pop and a bag of potato chips, flops down in front of the edit box, where he stays for the rest of the night, does not read. As I've told you before, I've met physicians and lawyers and other men of letters who've never read Huckleberry Finn in their life, never read Little Women, and had a girlish sniffle when Beth died. It's just very sad that we have 2 generations of illiterates who have so little knowledge of the world. They do not read newspapers. That's why newspapers also fold up, because of their own incompetence, as the Washington Post has demonstrated so clearly for so long.
Do you think the story coming out in the Washington Post is going to have an impact on Bilderberg, perhaps how they conduct their meetings in the future, their conferences in the future, or in any way? Do you think it will have any impact on Bilderberg?
I think it will. Otherwise, Bilderberg would not have permitted the Washington Post to carry such a story, because every Bilderberg member, whether he's only attended one meeting in his life, has taken an oath of secrecy to report nothing that went on inside the Bilderberg meeting. That promise has been broken by some angry patriots who had no idea who they were. Nevertheless, the Post had to have permission of Bilderberg to do so. So it's quite likely that in future years, they may get themselves their own website, like so many people think they have now. They may announce their meetings well in advance, announce a press conference, then go behind their closed, locked, guarded doors, much like their junior varsity, the Trilateral Commission, does now.
It's just amazing that just relatively recently, the mainstream media was announcing that they don't even exist. And now they're obviously writing about it, so they do exist. And I imagine that perhaps in a year or two or maybe more, the mainstream media is actually going to start reporting on Bilderberg and the dangers of such an entity. And Jim, as you pointed out many times, what would the mainstream media do if 200 film stars or 200 athletes got together secretly behind closed doors and armed guards? Of course, they would be all over them. But for some reason, they show no interest that 200 of the most financial elite are gathering together for a conference and have been for, let's see, 1954. So it's coming up on 60 years. They've been doing this for 60 years, and they're just now breaking the silence.
Now they're going to have to begin explaining all those years of keeping this under wraps. The Post is reporting it more or less like it's a new event, at least recent in its inauguration. Pretty soon it's going to start filtering. Well, then again, they started in 54 now, didn't they? So where the last 60 years go, you know, was the Post beamed aboard an alien spaceship in those last 59 years? What's the deal here?
Right.
And this is where they're going to run into this grand dilemma. And of course, it's all self-inflicted, so be it.
It's incredible stuff. Now, today is June 2nd. Tomorrow, I guess, they're the closing ceremonies of the conference. Is that right?
They might sneak out on Sunday if they're that depressed. They've done it before. Officially, in their original plan, they would have a farewell breakfast on Monday morning and then run through their limousines and helicopters.
Okay.
Not doing business on Monday morning, but simply have a farewell breakfast.
Right. Today's the 2nd. Tomorrow's the 3rd. They're going to meet tomorrow for their business, whatever it is they're doing. And then on Monday, they're going to have their breakfast and head out.
That's their plan. Okay. They'll get some work done, a lot of work done today, it being Saturday. And they'll work on Sunday, too, as well as play golf.
Were you guys able to discern who's actually in attendance this year?
It's especially tough at this hotel. They're being especially guarded at not revealing identities. The way the drivers drive, the extremely dark tinting on most of the windows of these black sedans. So far, the Post admitted Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates, and I think that's in the story that AFP just posted at AmericanFreePress.net. And there was a pretty good visual confirmation day before yesterday, I believe it was, of Henry Kissinger and James Wolfenson, as previously noted. And so it's tough. I think a lot of people might want to contact the Post and say, nice job, we want to see more. Now, let's see a list. Since Donald Graham was invited, he must have access to the list, right? So let's see the list now.
Incredible that for nearly 60 years, for nearly six decades, the mainstream media has been ignoring this meeting. And thanks to Jim's dogged determination over these almost 40 years, what's going to happen today?
Besides writing and putting together our notes and making sense of all of it, just to see if the protesters have went up in number, went down in number, if there's still cars coming in. I would imagine that a lot of the arrivals have ceased except for a few more trickling in, the latecomers, and to see maybe if the auspicious leaders, the illustrious brass of this organization would bother with a press release or a press conference in the wake of the Washington Post actually coming out of its lethargy and actually reporting something. That could create some new, rather unpredictable ripples in the pond, the nature of which is yet to be seen. So really, just to continue to chronicle and observe what's going on. You know, there's been four or five arrests of protesters. The protesters are very passionate. Whatever they lack in numbers, they easily make up for in passion. I think I mentioned that on the previous podcast.
Yeah.
They are out there tooth, fang, and claw, letting these arrivals know that they're not welcome in this area, or in this country, for that matter.
How many protesters are there today?
There's been a couple hundred, give or take. Yesterday ended up being a very rainy day, but today is cool and not humid and no rain predicted. So we have to keep doing our articles and our work, but then go back and check it out and see what happens, see when the Bilderberg members begin to depart, and just chronicle everything along, just the straight up facts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Maybe we could have you back before you head out and give us a final update on Bilderberg if any new things happen.
Certainly, yeah. We'll contact you, and I would encourage listeners to stay tuned on this website on this weekend and in the near future. There's always going to be articles rippling out from Bilderberg, not just in the immediate wake of and during the event, but Jim and I will be writing articles for the next couple of weeks easily, if not longer, because there's always a lot of fallout in policy, in the whole Euro crisis, in military initiatives, what's going on with Iran and Syria.
Right.
Right. Whether we'll attack either of those countries or get militarily involved in any way when we're already languishing in Iraq and Afghanistan. How long will we be in Afghanistan? All of this is happening right after the NATO meeting in Chicago. Some of the same people at NATO are probably here. It's time to pay strict attention. So that's what we'll do, and we'll report new developments, and Jim will concur with that.
James P. Tucker, Jr., Editor Emeritus of American Free Press, Bilderberg Hound, and Mark Anderson, Roving Editor of American Free Press, I want to thank you for the time you took out of your day explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to catching up with you tomorrow.
Very good.
Very good. More articles to come, and stay tuned.
All right, guys.